On this, the first episode of the Off Course Agility Podcast for the year 2022, I'll be having a few comments about a few things about NADAC and also a few comments about the podcast. I'm not sure how you get your NADAC news. I know a lot of people are on Facebook and get posts that NADAC puts up on Facebook. My sister often will alert me to posts, but I'm not on Facebook. But most of my news comes via the forum or through the NADAC website. Recently, in January, at the beginning, I'm not sure when, it wasn't immediately at the start, but a few days into January, Jimmy Steele had posted a video about changes for NADAC in 2022. And as he said in the video, there really aren't that many changes, but I thought I'd just mention the ones that were mentioned in the video, just my impressions of some of it. The first thing that was on the video was nipping. I think everyone has seen dogs that occasionally nip at perhaps their handler or maybe air nipping, air snapping. Jimmy explained, and this, thankfully, that has not ever been a problem with my dogs. Although I'll say Leanne and maybe Belle maybe has, not really. I'm gonna take that back. She sometimes jumps up, but she doesn't nip. Beagles aren't known to be very big nippers, except if you're giving them food. They might not nip you, but they might get you by accident because they love the treats. He was explaining that up until now, like nipping, if a judge sees nipping, I guess it's just been a five point markdown of the score, which essentially eliminates you for that run. And they explain that the judges are going to handle that a little different now in 2022. This one they said would be effective immediately. And if they do see nipping, I don't know at what level, the judge probably might come over and talk to the handler about it and just give a warning. And then if it happens again, the dog would be eliminated. It wasn't clear if that elimination was just from that run or from the day. You know, I wasn't sure about that. But it sounds like they're elevating it. Nipping just a little bit, like they don't want to see it, and nobody really wants to see that. Since that one doesn't particularly pertain to me, I'm not going to worry about it too much. And I certainly feel for anyone who does have a dog that nips at them, because I've seen people whose dogs do that, and sometimes it's a hard thing to correct. The other thing that was mentioned, he talked about two different items about barrel or a barrel. The one was he started by talking about barrelers in gamblers. And this discussion he had on the video didn't seem to pertain too much to me. In regards to doing the obstacle of the barrel or on a gambler's course. Really, what the discussion he had was really if you were using that barrel and it was over to 42 foot, you know, and gamblers, you can't go more than 42 feet without doing an obstacle. And if there's a barrel let's just say there's a barrel in the middle of the course and you were trying to go from one side of the gambler's course to the other, and you came to that barrel, I guess up until now, if you made some attempt to use the barrel, they let that go. I mean, and they didn't, you know, an attempt, it was, if you attempted it in some way, then the 42-foot rule didn't apply. Sounds like now you definitely would have to, like, if that barrel was just smack dab in the middle of the field and you were just using it to cut across the field, you would have to do like a wrap around it, a 360 around it, and then continue on. So you'd have to use the barrel. You'd have to use, he said, two sides, but he also said more than two sides, which is three sides. And that would be like a 180 then. But you would have to do something with that barrel so that it counted. Otherwise, it would be, you know, 42 feet. And you wouldn't get your gambler's cue if that happened. That didn't seem to pertain in too many times. But I know in gamblers, I'm always a little bit thinking, how far can I go before I got to do something, especially at the novice level? Because you don't need that many points in novice, which is where I am. And actually, I'll say, Trace has his novice gambler's title, which I'm really proud of that he's gotten that now. So it's, you know, you don't have to, because if you get the gamble in novice, that's 20 points right there, plus the points in the gamble, and you only need 30 to get a cue. So that's pretty good. And actually, the last one that gave us our title, we actually got a 15-point cue, because I guess we got enough points to make it to the 15-point level, which is pretty cool. Pretty exciting, because I really wasn't planning to do that. The other thing about barrels that, and that is effective June 1st, so the barrel change, you're still good in gamblers up until, I believe, June 1st, the way they're judging it now. The next thing that he mentioned in barrels is, essentially, barrels are kind of going away a bit, because I know over the years, I've seen, ever since barrels came on the scene, I've seen them in regular, I've seen them, I think, in Weavers, maybe. I think, I don't know, maybe I've seen them in Touch and Go. I've seen them, because sometimes you have they give you a barrel and to do a 180 to turn you around in some part of a course. Essentially, he was saying that barrels will no longer be in those courses. It sounds like, effective June 1st, barrels will only appear in the new Grounders class, and in gamblers. So you'll still see them in gamblers and you'll see them in grounders, but they won't show up in regular or weavers or touch and go. They never were in jumpers, I don't think. So you won't see them in all the other classes. You're just going to see them in gamblers and in grounders. That was my take on that. I'm just going to go into my next topic here. This is going to be a short podcast. I'm going to say that right now. The next thing that I noticed on the website, and one day I was on the NADAC website, and I saw they had the preliminary top 10 for 2021. Since it's the preliminary one, I'm not going to talk too much about like the dogs that were on it, but there is the preliminary top 10. And just to refresh everyone's memory, how you get on to the yearly top 10 list. There's the top 10 by the different classes, so you can be the top 10 dogs in regular or in gamblers or jumpers, you know, all the NADAC classes, they have the top 10. This is the last year you would see a top 10 for hoopers and for barrelers, since in 2022 it will now be grounders. But that's how you get on it. And then there's a top 10 by the classes, and there's a top 10 by breed. So you have the mix. There's the mix category of breed. And then there's all the more specific dog breeds. So if you're the number one border collie in regular, you would have a lot of points. I'm sure that dog has a lot of points. I didn't look at that list, so I can't tell you what the number of points is, but that is the case. And last year, in 2020, when the list came out, there was a little bit of a brouhaha, I'll call it. I know the list came out initially, and The list included cue points from both regular trials and from videotaped runs where you got a cue. This year, the 2021 preliminary top 10 has gone back to just points that you've earned at an actual physical trial. So people doing VT runs, their VT cues do not contribute to the top 10. I did see one small discussion about that in the forum, but I didn't really see any response. So I think that is, and NADAC is free to do how they want it to be. All the way until 2020, the top 10 always was the points just from a regular trial. So in 2020, since there were less trials, they first had it combined, but then people didn't like it like that, so they split it. So there was a top 10 list last year, the top 10 dogs from points from trials, and the top 10 dogs from videotaped runs. And my sister's dog, Belle, was one or two classes in the videotape trial. But there's not a lot of beagles, so she was in the top 10 for beagles. I'll get to that in a second. So anyway, this year, it's just the points from going to actual trials. And just, I was starting to remind everybody how this works. The top 10 only considers points from the elite level. So your dog must be at the elite level to ever get on any grouping within the top 10. So you have to be at elite in regular or elite in Weavers, whatever. You could then get into either the top 10 for your dog breed, or you could get into the top 10 for the class. The class is very, very hard because it's like all the breeds, all the jump heights mixed together. So that's a tough one. That's a tough one to get on. So I'll just, since it is the preliminary, I'm not going to go into any details other than I'm going to say that this year, my sister's dog, Belle, who's a beagle, she is on the preliminary list, the number one beagle in regular. She had 55 points, and a number of those actually came from the NADAC championships this year. She got, I think, maybe 30 or 35 regular points from the championships runs, I think. And then the rest came from other trials that we went to in 2021. The other interesting thing, I'll just throw out a shout out to someone else I know, because right next to Beagle was Basset Hound. And when I go down to the Woodstown trials, I see Jeff Case. He runs his dog Toby, a Basset Hound. He somewhat has other Basset Hounds, and he has another dog too. I can't remember what breed it is, but I don't think it's a Basset Hound. But he's just starting with that. But anyway, Toby the Basset Hound is the number one Basset Hound in regular. The other interest, and got 50, so he had 5 cues in regular. Although maybe he had more than that, but the half cues. But he had 50 elite level cue points. And I'll tell you, if you ever see Jeff and Toby run, it's a blast. The lumbering Basset Hound is cool to see. Definitely cool to see. You know, I'm a hound guy. I like beagles. So the other interesting thing on the preliminary list, which I believe was there last year too, because I remember talking about it on the podcast, is it does list the number of dogs competing at the elite level. So the interesting thing to me about the beagles is there were only 4 beagles. There are only 4 beagles competing at the elite level in NADAC in 2021. And that just tears at my heart a bit, because I know last year between the VT cues, the videotaped cues, and the regular cues, I think there were more than that. So either that means some beagles have retired out, or they're no longer competing in NADAC. It's sad to me to see that happen as a beagle lover. And I'll mention, just because I saw it there too, once again, the Basset Hound's next to Beagle. Jeff Case's Basset Hound, Toby, is the only dog at the elite level competing in NADAC. It's just one elite dog that's a Basset Hound, so it has to be Toby. By a process of elimination, it's Toby. But that list, the number of dogs competing at the elite level, it can be useful if you ever want to pick a dog that gives you a better chance to be on the top 10, if that's something you want to shoot for. And just as I just looked at a few breeds, but just so you know, like I said, there's only four beagles at the elite level. There's 160 Shetland sheepdogs. So if you go to another somewhat popular dog for people to have, but maybe not in agility, the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, there's only 15 of them competing at the elite level in NADAC. The Australian Shepherd, 177. So the Australian Shepherd and Shelties, they're very close. There's 160 Shetland Sheepdogs, Shelties, and there's 177 Australian Shepherds. And I know you all know this, but the big winner at the elite level in NADAC is Border Collies. There's 415, and that's the most of any dog breed, 415 Border Collies at the elite level in NADAC. So I'm going to just take a quick break, and I'll just come back about some comments about the podcast, and this is going to be a really short podcast. And I'm back. There was one other item more in the NADAC realm that I was just going to mention. I had looked at the NADAC awards list, and I think this is taking effect also at 2022 this year. And that's the new non-jumping natch, which does have me a bit confused, but according to what that award is, and this might be something that my sister's dog Belle is able to do, I would guess she's close to some of the categories here. But to get a non-jumping natch, you need 130 points in touch and go, in tunnelers, in weavers, and in the new grounders class that also is starting this year. So there may have been some runs of grounders in 2021, but for the most part, it's kicking up now this year. So if Belle could, you know, she's a good weaver, although she's not at the elite weavers level yet, although I think she might be now. I think she might have gotten what she needed to get out of open. She's always, my sister and Belle have always gone up the category, so she's always gone up to the superior level and things. So she has her open superior, I believe, now in weavers. So she would be starting to compete in elite weavers. But times are tighter, so I don't know how easy it would be for her to get those. I know tunnelers, she's definitely got a bunch of elite tunnelers cues, and she's got a bunch of elite touch and go cues. But she would need to get those. She doesn't have any grounders cues in elite. She would be at the elite level because she was in open for hoopers and barrelers both. She'd finished out the superiors, I think, in both of those. Not sure about barrelers, but definitely hoopers. So she would be at the grounders elite level. And but weavers, like I said, I think so grounders and weavers, I think she's at zero. So whether she could get 13 in the next year, few years, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But in general, and this is commentary by me, of course. I mean, NADAC has a ton of awards. It's great for your dogs and for most of the people in NADAC, except if your dog is challenged by the chances category, the chances class, which unfortunately for my sister's dog, Belle, that is the class that she and Belle have always had issues with. They don't have good distance in a venue that, you know, distance is kind of an important thing. So when you look at that list of all the NADAC awards, there's a lot of them that you cannot get. So Belle has gotten very few awards in NADAC, even though she's at the elite level in a lot of the NADAC classes. And yet she's gotten very few awards. I think she has her novice versatility, and she's at the point now she got her 2,500 lifetime points. So, I mean, that's impressive, but, you know, for a dog that's able to do chances, you would have been able to get so many more different things, you know, because the chances class is required in almost all the awards of NADAC. So to see this non-jumping natch is nice for dogs who are challenged, but however, it's four classes that don't have jumps. That's not necessarily the challenge for some other classes. And I'll say, I've thought about this occasionally, but the podcast isn't popular enough and stuff. But and I've mentioned in the past that I'm not the most active ham radio operator, but I am a ham radio operator. And in ham radio, there's all sorts of awards that you can chase. But the interesting in the world of ham radio is the awards can come from different bodies. So, you know, a lot of them are based on countries, but there's all sorts of different awards that you can get. Maybe it's working all the different counties of state. There's my radio club actually sponsors an award for that for New Jersey. So if some radio operator anywhere in the world works all the counties of New Jersey, they can submit for an award that is issued by the Morris Radio Club. There's other awards that are issued by other organizations based on whatever their criteria are. And then there's a lot of awards that you can get through the Amateur Radio Relay League, which is the United States, which is the national radio organization for the United States. Anyway, be that aside, but I sometimes would think it might be nice to have some sort of different type of award for dogs that can get to the elite, like the, you know, a high level in elite in a number of classes and called it some sort of champion. It wouldn't be a NADAC champion, but it would be something else. Because it's odd that the non-jumping, well, it is what it is. It's a non-jumping natch. But Belle, she's not a bad jumper. She's great and regular. She probably can get to the elite at jumper level, but, you know, so she still may not be able to, and she's, you know, longer into her career as a dog. Who knows when she'll end up retiring? She's 8 years old. So whether she can get the 13 grounders and weavers in the trials that she may go to in the future to get the non-jumping natch, only time will tell. All right. That's enough on that. In regards to the this podcast, once again, I'll offer a quick apology. I still haven't really gotten back into the gear of getting guests, but I did not want January to pass by without having an episode. So once again, I'll just say if anybody would like to be a guest, please shoot me an email at offcourse@optimum.net. which is always in the show notes for every podcast. Yes. So anybody wants to volunteer or you have suggestions for a guest you'd like to possibly have on, if you have their contact information, you can shoot me an email about that too. I do have a number of people in mind. I just have fallen behind in trying to make contact with some of the people that I want to have as guests. And I'll apologize that for that, but I don't know. It's mostly my part. I've been busy at work. Also, it's the last two weekends here in January have been some of the most greatest football of this season. Once you get to the wild card, the divisional, and the championship playoffs, those games are very exciting to watch. So I have been watching a little bit of a little bit of football on the weekends. And right now, just say I'm recording this Sunday night. Right now, the score is tied 7-7 between the San Francisco 49ers and the Los Angeles Rams. I just watched Kansas City go down to Cincinnati Bengals. So go Bengals, I guess. They are headed for the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. As I've mentioned on the podcast a lot, a number of times, I'm really a baseball fan. That is really my sport. I'm a Mets fan, diehard Mets fan. But baseball right now is in a collective bargaining situation. There's a lockout, so they're talking a bit. But, you know, pitchers and catchers generally report sometime in February, early February. And early February is almost here. So I do believe that the negotiations for a new collective bargaining agreement may delay spring training. And as it goes on, too far, you know, much they haven't come to an agreement by like Valentine's Day in February, it could affect the delaying the season of the baseball, which generally starts like the last day of March. Now the season keeps getting longer and longer. I would much prefer if it didn't start till April 1st at least, but it's only one day. Anyway, I think that's going to wrap it up for this one. As I said, I just wanted to release an episode in January. I will try to get some guests round up, and hopefully my next episode will be one with a guest in February. Although February is a short month, so I got to get going. Got to get cracking. Once again, you can send me comments, feedback, volunteer to be a guest, or guest suggestions by sending an email to offcourse@optimum.net. offcourse@optimum.net. And if you are trialing somewhere, which is not possible in the Northeast area right now, we just got a lot of snow, so there's no way you're going to a trial outside. Maybe an inside trial. And all my friends in New England, I'm sorry about all that snow you just got this past week. So if you are going to a real trial, or if you're doing VTs, I wish you happy trialing.